Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds in canyons of steam.
By request, Mike there. Wiggins. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Autumn in New York. This is Pep Talk. Actually, it's Autumn in Pensacola.
You took the words out of my mouth,
oh,
man.
No. Okay, and ready. This is the Garden Line. So don't get scared. This is the Garden Line. We're here this morning for you. We'll be here for the next hour answering your gardening questions, landscaping questions, plants, flowers, whatever's on your list. So you can always text that in at 850-437-1620. But we have there's so many adjectives that come to mind, but he's here, the amazing, the knowledgeable, the witty Mike Wiggins.
Too much.
The honorable Mayor Mike Wiggins is here with us this morning.
In New York. It's just a great song, and it is autumn in Pensacola.
Well,
there's no question about it.
You can't go wrong with Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, okay?
Never go wrong with that.
So a little departure from our usual music.
You and I have said this many times. One of these days, we're just going to do a music show.
I would love it. I would absolutely
love it. 1 hour music show.
Yeah.
And
you tell anecdotes about how different songs and different things.
And so much fun.
But, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for playing that.
Of course.
That was great. And it is autumn in Pensacola, and it is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous weather. With some temperatures at night in the 60s and in the days, or 80s, it just hardly gets better than this. It really does. Now, I'm a hot weather guy, a beach guy.
Truth comes out.
there's some other times of the year where I really like it, but this really is.
It's beautiful this morning. I've got a light jacket on. The air is crisp. The humidity's gone.
Absolutely.
And it's sunny. I just love it.
Absolutely. But, you know. I guess we have to talk about the negative also.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very dry.
I know.
We're back into our drought discussion here on the Garden Line about what to do. And, we can talk about what we as Pensacolians can do. But I did see a little bit on Channel 3, I guess it was last night, about the peanut farmers.
I saw that.
Up in the northern part of the county.
Holland Farms, actually.
Holland Farms.
He was talking about the roller, what it was, the equipment.
Exactly, but all the dust and dryness. And, you know, sometimes we do dwell on it, obviously so, because that's the nature of our show here. But we don't talk much about what's going on in the northern part of the county in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. Now, I know Andrew has had a farmer on who I think he does a lot of radio stuff, and it's amazing what they do and how much they produce and how much the weather affects them, just like it does us as homeowners. It's with that dryness. They showed a picture of the equipment, man.
It was huge.
That?
Yeah,
it was a big dust ball.
Because I think it turns or turns the peanuts over or something.
Turns it over,
like
but it was so dusty.
But he said, also the dry dirt, it puts a lot of strain on his equipment. And so he's having to replace it, which costs him a lot more.
Costs him a lot of money, there's no doubt about that.
But I don't remember this fall. To me, this is the tropical season.
Yes.
Right? So it's the hurricane season. So I'm expecting lots of depressions and some lows and a lot of rain. We haven't had that at all.
It's been amazing how those storms just kind of come off
nothing,
Africa.
Not even a little depression, low.
No,
nothing.
They take a hard right
and
go up into the North
strange.
Atlantic. It's very, very, I've never seen it like that.
No, it's very, I don't know.
We had that little dot the other day around the Yucatan. I said, well, maybe that's going to be a problem.
Mm-mm.
No,
it just fizzled away.
Fizzled away. Exactly. So what do we do? Well, we go back to our three times a week watering, I'm talking about, on our lawn and shrubs. Three times a week, easy, do it 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the weather, long-range weather, is saying rain 50% on Sunday. Well, that's good. That's good, but this is only Tuesday, so things can dry out very quickly, especially if you have a lot of wind.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go at least three times a week if we don't get the rain on Sunday, if we continue with this dry weather, then I think we need to bump it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to go 4 days a week. You may want to go 45 minutes versus
right.
30 minutes.
Right.
Whatever. And a lot depends on where you live. If you live in Gulf Breeze, your soil, well, I shouldn't say soil, your sand is going to soak it all up.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to water a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the northern part of the county, maybe not so much because the soil is a little heavier there.
Also, it's something to remember, too. I used to work with a weatherman who was very funny, and he'd say 50% doesn't mean 50% everywhere.
Right.
He used to say it could be 50% right here.
Yeah.
And everywhere else is dry. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt to understand what that means.
Exactly. Some of the weather reporting has been kind of funny. You know, it may rain and it may not.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, so glad we're paying you the big bucks for that.
That's exactly right. So, in any event, that's what I would do insofar as watering is concerned. Now, I'm going to go back to our song a minute ago, Autumn in New York. Autumn in Pensacola also means we're getting a lot of leaf drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the leaves are falling, and a lot of the questions are, do I really need to rake them up?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question a lot of people ask, and I think the experts say, yes, you
okay.
really should. Now, you can kind of grind them with your lawnmower because we're all having to mow, not as much, but we still don't want to put that lawnmower up. But on the leaves, you just don't want to leave them on there because they literally will keep the sun from getting on your turf, and that can cause disease and that type of thing.
Oh, that's interesting because in my mind I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe that would be kind of a good mulch.
No, I don't think so.
Which is why I am not the host of the Garden Line.
Well, that, I don't know, that's a Meg theory, isn't it?
Not to please, don't listen to me.
Now that you think about it,
you
know, it kind of makes sense. But I think most of the experts would say, yeah, go ahead and rake up the leaves. Don't let them get really thick on your lawn. And if you're going to lay sod, I think you could get by with it right now if you're going to lay sod. But what you need to do for sure is water the area first. Well, obviously, you want it clean and weed-free and level and all of that, all the things we talk about here. But you also want it wet so that sod is not put down on a dry turf or dry dirt, if you will. So that I think that's really, really important. And one other thing, too, and sometimes we don't stress this, we always talk about how do we plant our plants,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a little sphagnum peat moss and mixing that up with the sand and planting the tree and having it, maybe an inch or so of the root ball out. But what you want to do is fill that hole not only with some peat moss and sand, et cetera, but you want to fill it with water. You want that hole in which you're going to plant that plant to be kind of mushy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that really, really will help with any type of plant shock that might occur from transplanting a plant. Now, if it's been in a pot, that makes it the transplant much safer because we always kind of loosen up the roots and all that. But still, mix in the little peat moss and just let that water hose almost fill up the hole and it'll drain out very, very quickly. And I think your plant will be better off if you do that.
See, these are the tips right here. These are the reasons that you're successful at gardening. No one's ever told me that before.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Water is everything.
But I would never think to fill up the hole first because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be drowning it.
No.
See?
No,
I'm just saying. I love this show. I love learning these new things.
Well, what we did learn last week, and we're not going to repeat it, is how to spell sphagnum. I saw a note that I had made while we were talking last week of sphagnum, and I had spelled it absolutely wrong.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
But seriously, that comes out of Canada, and we talked last time. We hope the tariff situation hadn't raised the price on Canadian sphagnum peat moss, but it is very important if you're gardening in a sandy soil. I don't care if you're going to plant marigolds or petunias or pecan tree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is important for almost everything we plant to add an organic element to the soil.
Okay, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is our expert, Mike Wiggins, with the Garden Line. So if you've got questions this morning, text them on in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. Good Tuesday morning to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and this is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Had a picture sent in by one of our listeners. Can you please tell me what kind of plant slash weed slash bush this is?
Well, I tell you what we did. We had to refer that to our research department. And
they're so dedicated.
Well, yes. I think they're having problems because they had a day off yesterday.
So I'm
going to question their accuracy on this. But what we are told by our department is called, ready for this, dog fennel. Fennel being an herb.
And it kind of looks, it looks like a big fern almost in the picture.
It does.
Wouldn't you say?
It does.
It's kind of a...
You ready for the second
five,
name?
She said it's, or he or she says it's 5 feet tall and six feet wide.
Yeah, it's an herb. And it's also called, hard to believe this, sneeze weed. I'm sorry. I've been in this business a long time, and I am...
You haven't heard that one before?
I haven't heard that one before.
Sneezeweed.
So I'm going to question our research department on that, but it may be only going as a category of that's the best we can do.
Now, is that the one that said it was toxic to animals?
Yes, yes, it did.
So that might be something you want to get out of your yard if you have pets.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
But fennel is just, you know, you list herbs, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Fennel is an herb.
A 5 foot tall herb is a pretty big herb.
Big old herb, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, if you have a question, there are no silly questions, stupid questions, crazy questions, any question that you have for the Garden Line, 850-437-1620.
Exactly. You know, one thing we tried to talk about last week and we didn't get to it, we got busy, is to kind of recap some of the fall color that we complain.
Yes.
I mean, many times on the Garden Line here, especially in mid to late summer, we have so many things we talk about that are not fun. I mean, really, you know, how about sod webworms or Rhizoctonia fungus?
Those, ooh, no.
Well, they got to be talked about because we have to deal them. But talking about color in your yard sometimes can be a little more fun. And I think this time of year, well, I know this time of year, we need to start off with fall mums.
Oh, so now, pretty.
I was going to say, I have been to a couple of garden centers and some big box stores and independents also, and the mums are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I've seen them in all a 3 gallon pot, huge mums, maybe 24 inches from top to bottom, and they're just absolutely gorgeous.
The color's so vibrant.
Exactly. I have to say that the yellow is still my favorite. And
you know who does a good job too is, I have to say hats off to the public works folks at the city of Gulf Breeze. Because when you come across the bridge, they change up the plants there, and the colors are really changed again, and the colors are gorgeous.
Absolutely. And, of course, the mums are a perennial. So they'll come back year after year. Now, it's sometimes they don't come back as pretty as when you bought them. But, of course, the one tip, and I think everybody listening knows this, when you buy your colorful mums, because a lot of people will just buy them, put them in a nice, just set the plastic pot into a very nice pot and put them on your front steps. They just are gorgeous this time of year. But buy them, look very closely, and be sure that those buds are tight. If they're wide open, the time until that mum starts showing its age is not very long. So go ahead and be sure it's tight. But even at that, those yellow ones are just absolutely gorgeous. And you can plant it. Plant it in the, if you wanted to, after it's had its better day, plant it in the full sun, cut it back, and then in the spring you can kind of pinch it back, and then it'll bloom again in the spring. It's kind of a lot of trouble, and really what you've left with in the spring, for example, is just a green plant until it does bloom. And so they're better, let me put it this way, they're better things that you might want to plant for color in the spring than trying to carry that mum over into the spring. So anyway, enjoy it while it's so gorgeous right now. That's what you got to do. So those are mums. Okay.
Okay, I've got a question that's come in. Oh, unless you have something you wanted to get to first.
No. We can go to, before the show's over, we'll try to go through the list of fall color. okay. that's available. And if we get busy, we'll just do a lightning round at the very end of the show.
All right, there you go. All right, well, this is a question that came in from our listener, Ann. She says, what product can I attach to my hose to walk through my yard spraying the weeds in my St. Augustine grass? What is the temperature range to do this? I will be applying pre-emergence in November. Thank you.
Well, she is right on target.
You go, Ann.
The pre-emergence in November, what I would recommend is atrazine. Atrazine is a good pre-emergence, and it does have a little bit of post-emergence activity to it also. In other words, it will kill some of the weeds that are there, whereas the major premise behind pre-emergence is we spray it to keep weeds from coming up, mm-hmm. preventing them from coming up. And she's right. We do that mid-November, and then we repeat it 90 days later, mid-February. But if she's going to spray for some weeds now, mainly broadleaf weeds, hard to spray for things like crabgrass and that type of thing. But for broadleaf weeds, dollarweed, Florida pusley, all of those, I like to use a product called Trimec. Now, Trimec comes under many different labels, and you have to kind of look at the fine print. Just it'll say contains Trimec. But one of the other important things to do if you're going to apply Trimec on your yard, this is where you really have to read the fine print. Because Trimec sometimes will come in different strengths. Hmm. And if you read the fine print, it'll say, kills broadleaf weeds. Do not use on St. Augustine grass.
Ooh, okay.
Not every time, because mm-hmm. this is a good product for St. Augustine. So be sure when you're reading what the Trimec will do that it lists St. Augustine or centipede or zoysia, whichever grass you may have, to be sure you're not using something too strong. But it can really damage. And you don't want to spray weed killer on a totally dry lawn. I'm not saying water it first, mm-hmm. but just be sure that grass is not under any kind of drought stress when you spray weed killer. Because if you have a weak grass, that weed killer could do some damage.
Okay.
So be sure you've got had it well watered the day or so before you spray your weed killer.
Okay, great question. Thanks so much, Ann. Okay, we've got another question that's come in. What is the best way to get rid of wisteria so it won't keep coming back?
That's a tough one. That is a very, very hard one because you can cut it back and it'll come back. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. When I bought my house years ago, a guy had a section of the fence. He had planted nothing but wisteria. And I still have that wisteria trying to come back. I'll keep it cut back, mm-hmm. but here it comes back. There is a product you can use, and it's called Brush Killer, which is a total kill, and it will also sterilize the soil. So you can't plant anything where you spray Brush Killer, and you have to be careful that they're not desirable plants close to where you're spraying, because that Brush Killer will kind of leach to your through your good plants. I don't like to use it. I mm-hmm. think it's too strong. And that might help with the wisteria, but it is so strong. And you just might have to just keep it cut back.
All right, we've got to take a quick break.
Oh,
if you've got some questions coming, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back with the Garden Line.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and it is the Garden Line today, so we just have a minute or two left before we head into the news here, Mike. So if you have anything on your list there, and I've got a caller on the line, I'm going to get right to you, Diane, so hang in there with us if you can, we'll get back to you right after the news.
That's the deal. Yes, the next one on our list was pansies,
yes,
which is a great winter plant. It'll put up with the cold, comes in just numerous colors, and what I like about it, some of them are solid and some of them have what the experts would call a face on them. Which I really like, and a lot of people plant a whole bed of solid pansies, but a lot of people will buy a mixture, you mm-hmm. know, just a whole bunch of different colors, and I like it that way too. I really do. But if you're looking for a plant that's going to put up with the cold, the pansy is the one. It's planted all over the country.
Up north, you see them through the snow.
Exactly.
It's the prettiest thing.
That's exactly right. So in any event, pansies are good. There are a couple of names to keep in mind if you're gonna go buy pansies. One is the Delta Pro Series, and the other one is Swiss Giants.
Swiss what?
Giants.
Giants?
Giants, like big.
Oh,
big.
Giants.
Giants. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear the T. I was like, what is that?
What is he talking about?
This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Guess what? We got another half hour of fun gardening news and information for you. So come back to us after the news and be right here. And text in a question, 850-437-1620. Would love to hear from you. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, and this is The Garden Line. We're here every Tuesday at 9 o'clock till 10, and you can also hear a repeat on Saturdays at 9 o'clock, so check that out. Or you can even go to our podcast page at newsradio923.com, click on podcast, expert panel, and also there's a section just for The Garden Line, and you can hear every show Mike has ever done, because we have a fabulous host, Mike Wiggins. Tell us what's on your list for fall.
Well, we were going to go. I'm going to go back to pansies real quick. Just two things about pansies.
Okay.
One, it may be too early at some garden centers to have a full selection of pansies. I have always found them to be kind of the last ones to show up. Now, if you've been shopping for this is a request from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you've shopped for pansies and have found some really nice ones, let us know.
Yeah, text that into us.
Text that into us. It would be very interesting to see where you found them so other people can know that also.
Okay.
The second thing is planting them. Remember now, a little peat moss in the bed,
mm-hmm.
but also plant them where they get 6 to 8 hours of sun.
Ooh, okay.
They will do better if they have that kind of environment.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
850-437-1620, and we have Diane on the line. Are you there this morning, Diane? Can you hear us okay?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have some purple fountain grass that is quite raggedy after the summer. I'm wondering if I could cut it back and hopefully get some new growth before winter.
I would doubt whether you're going to get a lot of new growth before winter. If you can hold off, I think I would wait until we get a little bit of cold weather. That's generally when mm-hmm. we cut them back for the winter, then they come back strong. I will tell you this. That's one of my favorite plants is that purple fountain grass. It's an ornamental grass. I'd say kind of similar to the muley grass we've mm-hmm. talked about a lot mm-hmm. on the show with the purple fronds. Well, the purple fountain grass is really a great plant. So I would hesitate to really whack it back right now. Let's wait. You could kind of clean it up. That wouldn't hurt a thing, so it's not all ragged. But I would do my hard pruning after it goes, well, it doesn't really go dormant, but after the cold weather has affected it. That would be my best take on that.
Okay, and you said you had another question?
Yes, I have some beautiful plumerias that are about 7 feet tall, and they are blooming beautifully, so I hate to cut them back. I understand you can actually cut branches from them and just leave them dormant through the winter and then plant them in the spring. And I'm a little unsure, but I want to bring them inside, and they're almost too large to bring inside.
Right, exactly. No, that's a good way to propagate some new ones. That is fine. But quite frankly, if they're blooming now and really looking good, I would hold back on any pruning. I really would. There's no sense in taking off all those blooms, but taking off some of the branches, if you will, and saving them to plant next spring. I have never done that with plumeria. That's an interesting way to propagate them. I would like to see how that works for you. I bet it will.
All right.
Well, I know they sell bare branches
exactly.
in Hawaii.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, yeah, give it a shot.
Okay.
See what happens.
And then let us know what happens.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Diane. I enjoy your show. Thank
you. Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye. 850-437-1620. If you've got a question, please feel free to text it on in at 850-437-1620. We do have a text that came in, Mike. It says, good morning and help! Exclamation point.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh. Our
pressure.
Neighbor planted bamboo along one side of our yard. Please tell me what product I can use to spot, treat, and get rid of the bamboo that's now growing into our yard. Thank you.
That's one of the hardest questions. We are asked that question numerous times. Bamboo, once you've got it, it is so hard to get rid of it. And if you plant it, say, along your back property line, you know, blink your eyes, and it's coming up in your living room.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it is so invasive.
Wow.
It really is. And people have used different things. They've tried to use Roundup on it. I don't think that works too much. Because what you're trying to do, if you're going to try to control it, you need to get down to the roots. You need to find something systemic. And Roundup is systemic, but it certainly doesn't affect bamboo. I think the brush killer we talked about a minute ago might work, but you don't want to get that anywhere near your good lawn or your flower bed. That's mainly for using it along a fence row where you don't want to grow anything anyway. So I think we're kind of dancing around the answer to this one because there really is no good way to do it. What one needs to do if you want to plant bamboo, and a lot of people plant bamboo as a sound barrier.
Oh,
I had a good customer that lives right along Bio Boulevard, right, you know, busy road, and the house backed up to Bio Boulevard, and they planted bamboo all along the property line.
That's smart.
Because of soundproofing it, if you will, and it works.
Huh.
But what you need to do is look for this name if you want to plant bamboo. It's called clump bamboo. Clump bamboo is a variety that won't spread like your traditional bamboo. And so that's what I would plant if you're going to plant it at all.
Well, I just got a text from one of our listeners that says,
okay, not now.
This is about bamboo. It says, when I did land surveyor work, I absolutely, this is in all caps, hated yards that had bamboo. It went all caps again everywhere.
Oh, there's no question about it. I don't mean to laugh,
but I love all caps.
I agree that's in all caps because it's a hard one. A real funny, not a funny story, but back when I was in grade school over on in East Hill at the old Agnes McReynolds grade school.
Oh, my.
On the back north property line was very mature bamboo, very mature. And we would cut off some of the bamboo, kind of clean it out, and make pea shooters out of it. Remember that?
Why am I not surprised?
I mean, really. I mean, it was very mature.
Sure, there's all kinds of handy things you can make out of
all kinds of things you can do
shoots,
with bamboo.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think the end of this discussion might be, if you're thinking about planting bamboo, think real hard about what's going to happen in the following years.
Yeah.
With it.
It's unfortunate. It's her neighbor that's planted it.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's coming into her yard.
That's exactly right. So
have them over for tea.
Well,
a little conversation.
Conversation.
Yes, have a little conversation.
I agree.
Okay, we got some more questions rolling in here, so you want to try to get to everybody today. This is a little different topic. Is the compost from ECUA good to apply over St. Augustine yard?
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I don't think you need to spread that organic material over St. Augustine lawn. St. Augustine doesn't really need that. St. Augustine, if you're trying to add organic material to St. Augustine will grow in a sandy soil.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my best customers over the years had St. Augustine at the beach.
Oh.
And they didn't put any topsoil down. They just planted it in the sand.
Really?
Sodded over in the sand. Now, took extra water, a lot of nitrogen, a little extra care, but it did. But I wouldn't do that. I think that might even promote some disease if you start putting that over the St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
And also, I would also do this. If you're going to use that particular product, over the years, we've talked to the ECUA folks on the air about what they've got to sell and where one should use it and where you should not.
Oh.
Now, I don't know what the latest recommendation is from the ECUA on using that as a organic material. If, say, you're preparing a vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to use that in an edible environment? That's the question for the ECUA.
Mm-hmm.
And I would certainly ask that question before I use that material.
Interesting. Okay, that was a great question. If you've got another question, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. We will be back right after the break. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And this is Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. So text him in, 850-437-1620.
Okay, let's just kind of go keep going down our list of some fall color.
Excellent.
The mums, we talked about that. Buy them if the buds are tight. That's the best way to buy them. Pansies, maybe a little early to buy them. I don't think it's too early to plant them. Six to eight hours of sun.
Okay.
And try that. The next one is dianthus. I really like dianthus. And the garden centers in Pensacola seem to have a pretty good selection of different
colors.
What
do those look like?
Well, it depends. It's some different colors, short. Mm-hmm. It's a very short plant. But I have planted dianthus that have made it through the winter.
Really?
Exactly. And came back and looked nice in the spring. Then they finally kind of burned up, but it was a great plant. You may know them by a couple of other names. Carnation.
Oh. Okay.
Pinks. And Sweet William.
Oh, Sweet. I know what you're talking about.
They're all dianthus.
Okay. Yeah, I love Sweet William.
Exactly. One thing about dianthus, which you may want to do, is add a little bit of lime to the soil when you plant it. May not be totally necessary if you're going to water it right. You've got, you know, a nice bed to plant it in that's got some organic material. But a touch of lime wouldn't hurt. I would certainly try that. The next one on our list is petunia, which so many people, including me, kind of relate that to a spring annual.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Your marigolds, your petunias, and you can do that. But a petunia has been known to really get into the winter. Now, you get into 20 degrees, low 20s, maybe not. But it really is a good one. And the ones that I like, if you plant them in a pot along with something that grows tall, plant some of the cascading petunias around the tall plant, and it'll kind of go over the lip of the planter.
Yeah.
And it really looks nice.
That sounds beautiful.
All different kind of colors, just everywhere. So the cascading ones are good, and like I say, you may not think about it for fall, but do it anyway. How about ornamental cabbage and kale? We've talked about that.
Yes, we did.
Ornamental cabbage and kale, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ask?
Mike, what is the difference?
Golly, thanks. Great question. Thanks for asking. The cabbage has a very smooth edge around the leaf.
Okay.
The kale has a ruffled ledge.
Okay.
A ruffled leaf.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Great. The thing about cabbage and kale, the colder it gets, the better looking they get. They get this purple look right in the center, and they love the cold weather.
Huh.
So they're not going to grow too tall. You know, they're small, but it's a great winter plant. You can plant it in a container or just put it in your flower bed and enjoy it this fall, because what will happen when the spring comes, the warmer weather, it'll have its better day.
I have seen the purple kale. It's really pretty.
Isn't it pretty?
Yeah,
It really is a good plant. Absolutely. So those are some of the plants that we can plant for the fall. There's one other thing I want to mention. I'm going to kind of leave that topic and jump to another one.
Okay.
And that is mulching. And we've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. But for two reasons, maybe more than two. One, it looks good. Let's talk about pine straw.
Right.
It looks good. It's going to keep the weeds away, especially from around in your flower bed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a tree, an independent tree that's just out in this yard by itself, a little bed of pine straw around it really looks good too. Plus, it holds the soil, so when we do have a lot of rain, your dirt doesn't wash into the street, into the gutter.
Well, that makes sense.
Into the stormwater system.
That makes sense.
But the reason I bring it up, I found a place that sells, well, a lot of people sell pine straw, but there's a new one that I found. Maybe it's not new to our audience, but it's new to me. It's called Lucky's Pine Straw.
Oh, great.
Have you ever heard of Lucky's Pine Straw?
No.
Okay. And you know where they're, I thought it was just an independent guy selling pine straw.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped and talked to him. He said, oh, no, we are headquartered in, where are you having your high school reunion?
Charlotte,
North Carolina.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. But they sell it in different ways. And one thing that's really interesting, they sell it in these big round bales.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, which is a little more expensive than the regular hay bale looking
right.
type moisture. But it looks like beautiful, fresh pine straw. And that's important because if you buy pine straw, I won't mention any names, but some places you buy it, and then when you start taking it apart out of mm-hmm. the bale, it's kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of rotten.
It's crumbly.
Inside, crumbly and
yeah.
gray.
And I know what you're talking
not very
exactly.
pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
And has a lot of sticks and
mm-hmm.
stones with it. But this was really nice looking pine straw. So they sell the bales.
Mm-hmm.
They will deliver the bales.
Oh, that's
even
better.
Keep in mind, you got to pay for all these steps.
Even better.
They will install it, although it's put it out
oh,
for
really?
You.
Really?
And then this is what I really like. They have a product called... well, this is Mike's name for it. I'm not sure what they call it. I call it pine straw glue.
Oh.
Which you spray on your pine. You put your pine straw in, and you kind of turn it under so it has a nice edge to it. And then it's like hairspray. You put this stuff
See?
On your pine straw so it doesn't roll out, you know, because you can put pine straw out, and it looks great the next day, especially if it's next, say, to a sidewalk or
yeah.
the street. It'll, if it rains, it'll move.
Correct,
but
which
this,
is why I've not used pine straw, because every time I put it down, it blows all over the yard. But no one ever told me that there's a spray that you can put on it, just like I never knew about the water and the plant.
Exactly,
these are secrets.
These are secrets.
These are things that you
now,
don't tell people.
Now, exactly.
So
now,
little people like me go out there, we try to put that pine straw down, and it ain't happening.
Well,
but now I know there's a secret. What is that stuff called that you're talking about, the spray?
Pine straw glue. I don't know. But here's the point. Here's the deal.
Oh my goodness.
I don't believe at Lucky's they sell that. If they install it, they use that material, but they don't sell it. But he told me your big box stores,
okay,
which we all know,
yeah,
sell that stuff. So if you go in there and say, I heard this guy on the radio talking about pine straw glue. He didn't know what he was talking about, mm-hmm. but do you have it?
Okay.
So I am looking forward to trying that.
Okay.
Because I have a bed next to the street, and the first rain, that pine straw is
okay.
going into the gutter.
And we just got a text in real quick here. I think it's Lucky's Pine Straw that will come to your house, and they will take the pine straw out of your yard for free if you want them to. It is worth a phone call to find out.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to go take a break, but we will be right back with the
okay.
Garden Line.
My winter ride.
Welcome. Excuse me. Welcome back to the Garden Line. This is Beth.
Yeah,
Mike and I always
not?
Get into these conversations as we get to talk our way through the break. But anyway, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk.
Here we are.
So here what
we
are you
okay.
say, sir?
We only have a few minutes left.
Yes.
So let's kind of reiterate what we've talked about before about winter rye.
Mm-hmm.
Winter rye grass. A lot of people like to use it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, golf courses, they all use it to give your yard the green look during the dormant season. And it's great. It really works. And it works very, very well. But there are a couple things you need to do. One, you need to get good fresh seed. It's called Oregon Annual Ryegrass. Look for that
mm-hmm.
and then check the little date on the tag to be sure it's current year seed. Because if not, you'll get a lot of ryegrass, but you won't be getting your total money's worth. All of it won't germinate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then what you want to do is, well, let's put it this way. What you don't want to do is to scalp your yard. I've seen instructions on bags of ryegrass that say, mow your yard low and then apply the ryegrass.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Oh.
You know, when we talk about the height of grass,
mm-hmm.
St. Augustine, 4 inches, centipede, 3, zoysia, 2, never, ever do something different. Set that lawnmower and never change it. Winter, spring, summer, fall. It's always the same.
Okay.
So then you sow your ryegrass
mm-hmm.
and then you water it in real, real good. Now, here's one last hint. Do not ever get it in the flower bed.
Mm.
In other words, if you're using a cyclone spreader that throws that fertilizer out
right.
and you've used that for ryegrass, that's fine. That's a good way to put it out. But be sure you don't get that spreader to throw it in your flower bed. Because you talk about having trouble getting it out of there.
Oh, no, right.
And it so looks so unsightly. So That's okay. The deal.
All right. We ran out of time, but we had lots of questions this morning. That's it, sir.
That was fun. Thanks for all the listeners. Thanks for all your good questions. They were great today. Thank you.
And you were great, too, with all the answers. This has been The Garden Line. We'll be back again next week. You can hear us on Saturday right here at 9 o'clock.